Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
This passage of scripture is very significant to me, to us here at Kings, for a number of reasons. It was highlighted in a remarkable way in 1995. Now, in 1995, that's a little while ago, 30 years next year. We had a guest speaker come through. His name was Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. I remember going to the first meeting on a Monday night, and as we walked in, I was with another young man who said, "Oh, this is concerning." And I said, "How come?" He said, "This guy has split more churches than anyone in America." And I was like, "Huh." I don't even know what that was. It was like brand new to the church, pretty much. And I know what it is now. It was super hyperbole, not true, but many received a touch from God through Rodney Howard Brown's ministry that changed them forever, and I'm included in that number, as is my wife. Our church back then was a strong church there in the island of Maui, and we had three different extensions at that time. We had Molokai, Lanai, we had life groups all over. We had Maui, of course, the main church in Maui, which is where we're birthed from originally, if you don't know that. And you'll hear here a flavor of Polynesia, and that's where it comes from. Somebody asked me, "How many languages do you speak?" Three: English, tongues, and pidgin. But my pidgin, small kind rusty, said one local boy as I was speaking pidgin. He said, "Oh, bah, you small kind rusty pidgin, huh?" I guess so. 1995, the river of God's power swept through our church. It was after that we exploded in church planting, leadership, and Pastor Karen and I were touched greatly in those revivals. And one of those passages that marked that time is Ezekiel chapter 47. And it is especially meaningful to me for a number of reasons, including that 1995 experience. I believe that we're entering into an unprecedented time of outpouring. I believe that between now and the new year, the end of December, we're going to see an experience, an explosion of God's power, God's healing, salvation. More leaders will be raised up. We're going to have 200 life groups. How many? 200 life groups. I believe that we are going to flourish like never before, and that is because there's a river of God's power that is flowing through this place, and we have every intention to see it go wider, deeper, and broader. Can you say amen? Ezekiel chapter 47. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. 12 verses. "The man brought me back from the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. The temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple." It's Ezekiel 47, verse 1. "Under the south side of the temple, south of the altar," verse 2. "He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, then led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist." Verse 5. "He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And he led me back to the bank of the river, and when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the sea. Then it empties into the sea, where the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live." I want you to say that. So where the river flows, everything will live. "Fishermen will stand along the shore with their dip nets." I added that. "Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Gilim, and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that endures forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain, will endure forever. We stand before you as a great company of people on this night and ask that you would give us living understanding, that you would come and mark us with your very finger, that every man, woman, and child be brought low, and that you would be glorified. At the end, we would say that we know you a little bit more, that we, yada, that we have experienced you, your power, your word, your truth, your river. So let the river of the Holy Spirit come, flow through this place, unhindered. I bind, gag, and muzzle every assignment of the enemy, every hindrance that would try to keep back what you want to do tonight, and declare freedom, power, healing, encouragement, strength, hope for all those online and all those here. Put your best hand clap together and give a big amen. You may be seated tonight. Ezekiel's vision is seven specific components to it. Right from verse 1, you see this water comes from under the threshold of the temple. Verse 3, without tributaries flowing to it, the stream of water becomes a mighty river. Verse 3, a mighty river, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then it's so vast that no one could cross it. I mean, that's quite a statement. And the angel says, "Son of man, do you see it? Water flowing from the temple." I believe an application for us tonight, and there's many different ways to approach this text to preach to you, but I believe that people are going to catch a fire, catch a zeal, have the river so flowing through them. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. We'll look at that text in a moment. But literally, the further you get away from the house of the Lord, I believe there'll even be a greater flow of God's power. And I think that's to combat this idea that miracles just take place in the church. Miracles should not just take place in the church. Miracles should flow wherever you go. That is actually a biblical reality for those who are in communion with God and understand the flow of the river that flows through them. There's a forest of trees in verse 7. There's this bunch of trees on each side of the river. Verse 7, when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. The flow of the river was from Jerusalem to the Jordan Valley. To understand that, we've had the privilege of being there, and to the Dead Sea. It's interesting, as we visited there, the Dead Sea, the mineral level there in the water of the Dead Sea is so, it's so high that you can't sink, I'm laughing because I'm remembering Pastor Karen floating in the Dead Sea. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you go to sit back and you think you're just going to go underwater, but you just sit there and you float. I mean, it's remarkable. And that lake is now evaporating. It's the lowest place on earth. The Dead Sea, pardon me, is evaporating. It's the lowest place on earth. Lowest point in the earth is the Dead Sea. Verse 8, he said to me, water flows toward the eastern ridge and it goes down into the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. Look at verse 9 and 10. Swarms of living creatures are by the river. Life takes place where the river flows. Say that. Life takes place where the river sows. Proverbs says, the man who wanders out of the way of understanding will rest in the congregation of the dead. There is a dead church. There is a dead congregation. If you wander out of the way of understanding, you wander out of the way that God has intended for freedom and power for the river, can I say it that way, the outpouring of the Spirit. There is dead Pharisaical religion, letter that kills, but the Spirit gives life. I have learned long ago that I can't stand dead church. If our church was dead, I would have died. I just wouldn't have stayed. But something captured my heart, captured Pastor Karen's heart when we got here. And it was the river of the Holy Spirit, a freedom, a zeal, a passion with signs and wonders. We would be touched by God's power even as it is today, like electricity. Just supernaturally overwhelmed at times, feeling the love of God. I met some new folks here this morning. There was many visitors. We met some new folks here. And as I was talking to them, they said, this place is so friendly. You feel the love of God when you enter into this church. And that's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The river is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Life takes place where there's a river. There's a river flowing through your home. Is it flowing through your business? Is there life? Is there teeming life around you? Or is there teeming death? Swamps and the marshes stay dead, stagnant water. The seventh thing that you see on both banks of the river, fruit trees of all kinds. It's a picture of blessing. Now, the river of God is shown in many different places in Scripture, and I'm just going to give you a couple of those. Turn to Joel chapter 3, verse 18. Joel 3. And it'll come to pass, Joel 3 and 18, it'll come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine. The hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water from the valley. My goodness, to go to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1 of Zechariah 13. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the people of Jerusalem for cleansing from sin and impurity. Zechariah 14 and verse 8. In that day, living waters will flow from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea, half of them to the western sea, the Mediterranean. It will be in summer as well as winter. Turn to John 4. John 4. And that's that passage I was talking about, out of your belly. John 4. The Old Testament is a picture book of New Testament reality. So when you read things in the Old Testament, understand that it relates to New Testament truth. And my favorite way of preaching and teaching you is teaching you Old Testament with New Testament manifestation, New Testament reality. John 4, 14, whoever drinks, talking to the woman at the well, whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. Here's this woman who comes with a water pot. She's basically a harlot, if I can say it that way. She's been with multiple men. She's a marriage wrecker. And the man that she's with now, she's not married to him either. And Jesus prophesies to her in the kindest of way and begins to tell her that if she drinks of the water that he gives, she will become a well. I'm telling you, thank God for a church like this. Thank God for the power of God, for the river of God. But what has to happen is that you need to drink from the river in such a way that you become a river, that you have a river flowing through you. If all you do is come to a church like this or come here and get fed week in, week out, month in, month out, and it doesn't transform you, you're not drinking right. Jeez, Pastor, that's a little intense. I'm just telling you how it is. And let me say this while I'm at it here at family night. Don't let your devices babysit your children all the time in a service like this. I have found, without giving specific horrible details, that by doing that, you can actually set your child up for destruction. I would greatly encourage you to get a coloring book, get some sort of a craft, Legos, but for God's sake, don't spill them all at once. We've heard that it just sounds like this waterfall of pain as it comes out. There's something about working with your hands tactile as opposed to getting into a screen, because the screen sucks you in, and then kids never hear what I'm saying right now. He said, well, you're ruining my babysitting. Change the way you parent. He said, well, I don't like the way you're saying. I'm trying to save you from having a prison ministry or worse. You know what's worse? Death. I would strongly encourage that. This. Can I borrow that a second? Is that me? Thank God. It's beautiful. Here she has a notebook with pictures. I won't show everybody your pictures. It's beautiful. Look, even Minister Hank is drawing. That's fantastic, Minister Hank. That's beautiful. Well done. That's fantastic. You might want to take some notes, brother. All right. Wow. I think we should show everybody that. Here, come here, close up on this. Give me a close-up shot. Minister Hank's being touched by the Lord as he draws a picture. Everybody say smile. But there's something about a screen that just sucks your kid in and they can't hear what I'm saying right now. What do we got over here? All right, you, what are you making? Guns. That's good. That's a good Alaskan child. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at that. Glory to God. Close up on. Good. Fantastic. Can you make a rifle? Let me see. Go ahead. And meanwhile, and here's a puzzle. I'm telling you, I've been doing this a little while. Do not let screens babysit your kids and wonder why they didn't get touched by the river. But I found that when the power of God's being poured out, kids that are making stuff, they sort of freeze up and be like, and I can see the word going in. I can see the word going in. I can see it right now. I see kids right now. They're wondering if I'm going to come and snatch your toy. But they're listening. And screens, and for God's sake, don't put headphones in them. Let them hear Pastor. Let them hear the man of God. Well, it's family night tonight. We didn't finish reading this. John 4 and 14, you all there? Whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. There is a spiritual thirst that you have that will never be satisfied except by God. You cannot satisfy the hole that's in your heart, that's in your soul, soul, nefesh. The very word nefesh means thirst. You are designed to hunger for God. And the entertainment industry has robbed people. Have seduced a whole generation with the wow factor of the all the explosions and the motorcycles and the adventures and the fictitious characters and the romance and all of that. When your heart should be enraptured by the awesome, great, and mighty one enthroned. And fall in love with him and have encounters with him and talk with him. And see signs and wonders not by the hand of the Incredibles or Superman. You should understand that you're a superman or a superwoman. There's either men or women. That's it. Can you say amen? That the power of God flows through you in such a way that you're excited about to talk when you prayed for the kid at school, all you students, and he got healed. Good to see you. When you pray for your next door neighbor who was broken and they got healed. When you lay hands on the sick and you see them recover, your kids should talk about it. You should talk about it. He said, we don't really talk too much about that. Maybe you need some boldness to reach out. Because if you drink in such a way that's right, you'll become a well. It's interesting in that text, without going into the whole thing, she left her water pot. She came there at noon when nobody comes to get water because she didn't want to see all the women that she robbed their husbands of. And she brings a water pot when she had a revelation as the Messiah talking to her. She becomes an evangelist to all the people who scorned her and the people that were afraid. And she went to the man and told them, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Come and seek the Messiah. And when she left her water pot. She's no longer getting water because she had something that was far more valuable. John 7, go there. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the river of God flowing through your life. Talking about the river of God throwing through this. Talking about the river of God flowing through your business, flowing through your family, flowing through your life group, flowing through your team, flowing through King's Primrose, flowing through everywhere you go. There should be a river. That's normal Christianity. Everyone here could be anointed to do signs, wonders, and miracles. You missed a great place to say amen. John 7 and verse 38, he who believes in me, this is the amplified version. It's also called the girl's version. Did you know that? You want to know why? Because the amplified version uses a lot more words. That's one reason. But the other reason, it's actually the editor is a female. Okay. If it's too loud, just turn it down a little bit. All right, you'll get that later. He who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, as Scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. Verse 39, but he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him as Savior were to receive afterward. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Go to Revelation 22, verse 1. Talk about the river seen in Scripture. Here in the New Testament, Revelation 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit. Does this sound familiar? Because Ezekiel's prophesying and having this vision, really, of a river here that's in heaven. It's a river of life in heaven. There's a river in heaven, yielding its fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. It is the exact verbiage used in Ezekiel 47. The river is a picture of the Holy Spirit at work in our world today. Come on, somebody say, he brings life. He brings life. I had somebody say to me, oh, I don't go to church. Church is boring. Obviously, I don't come here. Church should not be boring. It should be filled with life, should be filled with hope, should be filled with encouragement, should be filled with power. Church should be that way. Life groups should be that way, and they are. Teams should be that way. I remember going dip netting years ago. It was the first year, I believe, if you want the exact date and time, ask Pastor Karen, she'll tell you. I remember I went the first year I was here, I went down and I went dip netting. I caught my first fish and I bring the fish in and instantly there's a lady from our church. Like, I mean, we weren't having a church trip. I just went down and there's this lady, hey, pastor. I'm like, hey, how are you? She's like, good. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm dip netting. I just got my first fish. She goes, that's illegal. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, you haven't been here a year. I'm like, what? She's like, you got to be here a year. You just broke the law. I'm like, rakabashanda. I pulled the fish out. I called the fish and game. I turned myself in. I said, ma'am, I'm here. I haven't been here a year. I don't have a permit. I didn't know. This other knucklehead brought me down here and tried to get me in trouble. And then one of my people from my church saw me. I'm repenting. Right now, I broke the law. She says, she kind of giggles. She says, do you still have the fish? I said, no, I gave it to somebody else who had a proper dip net permit. I said, what do I do now? She said, don't do that again. I said, okay, I won't. I hung up. I went home with my tail between my legs. But the next year, I had a dip net permit. The next year, I had a dip net permit. And I remember, as God is my witness, being in there, I believe Daniel was on my shoulders. I would dip net with him on my shoulders. We would not want to do that now. I could get on yours. That's right. I would spend hours with my son on my shoulders and my traps would cramp, but he had, you remember that, right? Incredible experiences with my son praying for fish. And I've, anybody ever been in the lineup, you know, combat dip netting? Okay, and no fish are running, like for 45 minutes, and you're sitting there and people are like talking. I remember this one conversation, this guy says, oh yeah, I went into Anchorage, got myself a new vacuum sealer. Really, which one you get? Oh, you know, the one, that one, I got that one. Oh, wow, fantastic. Yeah, I got a deal on it, you know, it was partially used. It was one of those good ones, almost like $800, $900, one of the good ones, the commercial ones, they're like awesome. Yeah, I had to get a new net too, because last year my net got, and my waders, and I got brand new waders. And then they start laughing, and the guy says, yeah, come down here to get all this free salmon. After you spend thousands of dollars on your equipment, you go get your free salmon. Hallelujah. You ever go commercial fishing, you'll never touch another dip net the rest of your life. You'll be like, this is stupid. After you do set netting, you're like, what if this is insane? And this is insane. I'm standing there for 45 minutes, no fish. And somebody says to me, there's little church people all lined up, the right, left, mixed in with some pagans. And somebody says, hey, pastor, why don't you pray for some fish? This is God's honest truth, what happened. I said, okay. And so I said, Lord, you prepared a fish for Jonah. You could give me a fish right now. Would you give me a fish? And I got a fish. And everybody's like, whoa, that was weird. That's weird. Bring the fish in. I'm like, yeah, Jesus. I come back. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know how you've been sitting there, you're so tired, and then all of a sudden you're just pumped. Like, oh, it's like you had 10 Red Bulls. You just caught a fish. I put my net back in. I'm like, oh, Lord, that was awesome. And somebody says, do it again. I'm like, all right, Lord, would you just, got another one. Third time, come back. And I had some guy says, how are you doing that? I said, it's the Lord. And so I did it again the third time. Wham, got another fish. Nobody's catching any fish. Bring the fish in. Bring it back. Number four, the guy says, dude, do it again. I said, nope, that's it. I didn't have faith for number four. I had faith for three. Come on, somebody say there's a river. And where the river is, there's life. There's what? There's life. Where the river is, there's life. There's joy. There's freedom. There's healing divine. Where the river is, there's life. There's a river here tonight that can set you free. That's what that was. People being healed. People being touched. People being encouraged. You don't have to be broken and suffer with depression. You can be set free. Turn me up a little bit, Mr. Sound Guy. You can be set free online. There's a river right now. Lift your hands to heaven. There's a river, and in the river of the Spirit of God is life. Life to the full. Freedom. 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 You can make it. There's strength that comes from heaven, from the very throne to you. And if you'll drink rightly, it'll flow through you, to you, and through you to change the world. There's no obstacle, there's no difficulty, there's no problem that you face all the rest of your life that you can't overcome. If there's a wall, you can run through it. You can jump over it. You can make it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. Come on, you're washed, you're cleansed, you've got power from on high. Come on, somebody say, I got the power of the Holy Ghost. A river, where there's a river, there's life. Somebody said there's something different about Kings. Yeah, it's that. The Holy Spirit, fountain of life, makes us fruitful. If you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit will make you fruitful. If you're not fruitful, you got to examine your life. You have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. If you don't check yourself before you wreck yourself. I don't pray for patience. I don't know if you remember, but it was years ago, somebody said, oh, if you pray for patience, you know what happens. I'm like, no, what? You have all kinds of trials and all kinds of difficulty so you can develop patience. I thought, oh. So then what I did instead is I learned from Dr. Morocco. He said, oh, I have patience. I'm like, what do you mean? It's just fruit of the Spirit. I just possess it. I thought, I'm down with that right there. Come on, somebody say, I have patience. Yeah, it's a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring fruit. The fruit of the Spirit will be in your life. There must be an aspect of your life that's unexplainable. When you're walking with God, there is a supernatural aspect that's unexplainable. You can't explain how you ended up in the right place at the right time. You can't explain how that accident just missed you. You can't explain how supernaturally you received favor at the right time, blessing. Somebody else should have been elevated, but instead you were. Over and over and over, it's a part of walking with God and being filled with the Spirit. The forest, these trees are a picture of growth. And a picture of maturity. You know, we've got our landscaping in going all around the building, for which I'm very happy. I'm very grateful. But it's interesting, some trees are bigger than others. And I don't know about you, but I like bigger trees. Does anybody like bigger trees? Or do you like those wimpy little tiny ones that you have to wait 10 years till they look like they're a tree? And you keep the moose away so that they grow. But you know what? All of us are in the process of growth and maturity. And I'm so glad that the good work that he's begun on the inside of each and every one of us, he will complete until the day of Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody say he's faithful. Somebody say, don't trip. God ain't done with me yet. Yeah, see, you might not be the flourishing tree that you hope to be, but don't quit and don't give up. Think about where you used to be. Do you have a new picture over there, Minister Hank? Okay, praise God. Ah, it's a picture of growth. And he makes us fisher of men. You see this picture of fishing taking place and nets being cast. You can't help but think about the harvest and the salmon run all at the same time. And I don't mean a harvest of salmon, I mean a harvest of men. Look at this, look at Sunday night, before you look. This is July, Sunday night in July, and the church is largely full. And I wanna tell you why that is, because there are people that are hungry and thirsty for the word, hungry and thirsty for the things of the Spirit, hungry and thirsty for the river of God, hungry and thirsty for healing and the word. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. And when we first got here, they said, don't even bother doing a Sunday. Don't do a Sunday. Alaskans don't go to Sunday night. Nobody will come. Go ahead and turn and say hi to nobody. You know what it is? People want to be in the river. People want to be where there's freedom. People want to be where there's power. People want to be where there's liberty. People want to have an experience in God. They want to know. They want a yada. They want to experience God for themselves, not just for some some teacher or preacher up front, but literally to equip you, to train you, to empower you, and to launch you with a river flowing out of your belly so that you can change the world. You can change the world. You can change the world. You're not turning me down, are you? Okay, turn me up then. You can change the world. The fruit of the Spirit continually seen in our lives. The other thing we see here, healing for the nations. Through the Holy Spirit, we bring healing, bring refreshing to others. We bring healing and refreshing. God desires to manifest in your life in a greater way. Minister Daniel, would you come? He desires to manifest in your life in greater and greater ways. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you're like, yeah, I experienced that. I prayed in tongues once. What? Oh, I experienced God once back. I think it was a Notre Dame outpouring. How many of you know what that is? Notre Dame and Catholic Church gathered, I think it's in the 1960s, and the power of God fell in the Catholic Church. We actually had somebody in our church in Kauai that was at the Notre Dame outpouring. She was elderly then. She's since gone on to be with the Lord. Thank God for the Notre Dame outpouring. Thank God for Azusa Street. None of us were alive. Raise your hand if you were alive during Azusa Street. You're old. Very, very old. Well over 100 years ago. Thank God for what he did in 95. But if you're hanging your hat on 1995 or 1975 and the Jesus movement, I'll remember Jesus movement, what a flower power and Holy Ghost, Jesus. We need to have another Jesus movement now. How about now? Did you get touched by God now? Now faith is today. Have you experienced God's power today? And if you haven't, now I know that there's sovereign moves of his Spirit. I understand that, but there's also a hunger and a thirst that'll press past your flesh, past challenges and obstacles to drink from the river of life that will change you forever. Somebody said, well, the Spirit operates sovereignly as he wills. Yes, that's true. That's scripture. And the Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Holy Spirit can become just part of religious teaching. I don't ever want to do that. The Spirit of God, the river of God, can just become part of your theology and never a part of the reality. The flow of his river in your life and in the church. I pledge to you, I vow to God, that will never happen here. We want you to come, we want you to flow, we want you to move like a mighty rushing river. Oh God, oh, we need you. We need you. Like the ocean needs the streams, we need you, Lord. Like the desert needs the rain, we need you, Lord. We need you, we need you, we need you. Like the morning needs the sun, we need you, need you. We want you to move, to stir, to touch, to change. Holy Spirit, come tonight. Ooh. Holy Spirit, come tonight. Come like a rushing wind. Come bring fire again. Come like a river. We won't stop you. We won't hinder you. Have your way. We're hungry and thirsty for you. Woo. The Lord longs, desires to flow through you. Those of you who might be dead spiritually can be made alive again. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord, but the Lord does. And He'll bring you into a service like this to hear a message like this to elicit a response from you. So, Pastor, what's the response? Well, the Holy Spirit will show you that too, but we've got to commit ourselves to receive from the Lord. We've got to commit ourselves to not become religious. Lift your hands to heaven. Yeah. Oh, we want you, 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 we want you. For years, I've forced myself into a model of a 1.5 hour, no longer than 2 hour service. And God forbid you go over 2 hours, because if you go over 2 hours, my God, that's long. Oh, that's long. What are you going to do? What are people going to do? 2 hours. Oh, kids can't take it. Parents can't take it. You know what? It's a bunch of garbage. There's nothing on Netflix. And honestly, some of you could skip a meal. There's nothing that's greater than... Pastor Karen told me to say that. There's nothing greater than being in the presence of God with His people. You know, we're going to do this for eternity. We're going to worship God. If you get bored after an hour and a half or 2 hours, I mean, we're an hour and almost an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah, there it is. It's an hour and 40 minutes. I think intentionally having a long service is weird. And I think that can be religious too. It'd be like, strive to have a 3 hour service, but I'm gonna tell you what I've asked God to break in me. I asked God to break in me that the uncomfortable feeling that I've gone an hour and a half or 2 hours. So when the fire and the power of God's being poured out, if you need to slip out, go right ahead. But it's in services like this one where we lingered and where we tarried. And Pastor Karen and I in our 20s would be piled up in the front, wrecked under the power of God, and God would speak to us and He would heal us and He would show us vision, and a river would flow through the church. And we were there. We were some of the last people to leave. One of the greatest compliments we've received is from one of our pastors years later, 20 years later plus. They came on our staff and they grew up in the church. We hadn't seen them for a while. And she says, oh, I remember you and Pastor Karen, we remember you. I'm like, oh yeah? She said, yeah. All that stuff was happening in 1995, 96, 97. I wasn't sure of any of it, but I remember you and your wife walked out of the back and you were staggering, looking like you were drunk. And I said in my heart, that's real. And she was right. You know how you know it's real? Changed lives. And years later, we're just as crazy. Well, we might be a little sweeter. Pastor Karen, you're as sweet as ever. I was a little ornery. I've mellowed out. But I have purpose in my heart for Sunday night and Wednesday to just let it rip, to just let God show up and turn out. And I'm not intentionally going to go long. I mean, we're not long now. I'm just telling you, I am not going to pay attention to that clock and make that thing be an idol of how the Spirit can move and how what time frame He can move. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to fight that thing. Because religion wants you to shut up and behave yourself. You just behave yourself. Whatever you do, don't go long. Whatever you do, don't look undignified. Whatever you do. There's nothing like His Spirit. Nothing like His presence. No, there's nothing like your river, God. Nothing like the river. Responding to this message, commit yourself. Commit yourself to to know God. Commit yourself to know the Spirit. Drink of the river. Commit yourself to receive from the Lord all that He has. Commit yourself to it. Come on, say, God, I want all that you have for me. Come on, say, God, I want everything you have for me and my family. I want it all. I want everything you have. It's like a spiritual greed. It's the one kind of greed or covetousness. Covetous, covet. Do you know what it is to covet? Hopefully none of you did that to your neighbor. You know what it is to covet a Harley Davidson or that latest fishing boat, that Sea Ark with a 110 jet on the back, semi-V hull so you could just rip up the river. You know what it is to covet something, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, come on, go there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Give me the last two verses on the screen, if you would. I want you to show you something. Next verse. Is that the last verse? Eagerly desire. Give me the New King James. I love you. You're amazing. New King James. King James. Go to King Jimmy. It's better. I like it better. Here it is. King James. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. In the King James. Reads, there it is, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And then he goes on, yet I show you a more excellent way, and he goes into the love chapter. There is a principle, listen to me, there is a principle of spiritual coveting, a principle of hunger and thirst and a yearning and a desire to see God manifest in your life, His power to come. Don't just settle on whatever gift you had when you popped out the womb. It is, well, these are the gifts I have. Really? I had no gifts when I got here. Karen had a few more than I did. We've grown. We grew simply by putting a demand and a desire, a coveting. God, I want to prophesy. I want to prophesy. I want to be used like that, God. I want to see healing. I want to see a flow of your power. I want to be used in miraculous gifts. I want to see, oh, all of your gifts flow through me. I want all the gifts. It's spiritually greedy. As long as your heart's in the right place, He'll give it to you. He'll teach you. You don't have to stay in some deadlock, dead end, dead sea kind of walk with God. You can get set on fire. You can flow in greater power. You don't have to settle for the gifts that you currently have. You can get more gifts that you'll earnestly covet. There's a river that flows from the throne to you. There's a river that flows from the throne to me. There's a river that flows to every single person who desires it. But your hunger and thirst, if it's not sincere, or maybe it's misplaced. Maybe you do it so people will know you or like you, or you get some accolades from men. And that won't work. But if you desire His river, His power, His gift to flow through you so that you can be used to expand the kingdom, so that you can be used to set the captives free, to bring healing to the nations. If you desire, if you long, if you covet the greater gifts with the love of God, so that lives can be changed and people will come off of methamphetamines, people get their marriages healed, so people can come to the knowledge of Christ, so the revival can sweep through the high schools and the elementary school, so the river can flow through you to your family and your brothers and your sisters, so that you can speak out of an unction and an anointing from God that breaks the cedars of Lebanon, that releases His power. He'll give it to you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.